Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I thank God for his faithfulness. And before I turn the program over to Minister Sheila, I just wanted to recognize that this is our family reunion weekend, and I thank Minister Sheila for allowing Minister Sylvia to have the platform on yesterday, and I thank God that I was able to call in and on some occasions support her. I know I kept getting dropped off on the line and stuff, but I'm grateful for whoever was managing the Zoom meeting and the phone call, because as soon as I would get dropped off, they would graciously allow me to come back in. So once again, Minister Sheila, I am so godly proud of you for allowing Minister Sylvia to have the platform on yesterday. It meant so much to me just because, like I said, I'm just detouring from the program for a minute, because over the course of our lives, I always heard Minister Sylvia's voice, how she was concerned that she was misaligned in the family, and how a lot of times, because of our age, we were, her and I was recognized as being a part of the other generation, the next generation. So, Minister Sheila, that meant so much to me. So thank you for being willing to say, okay, I got a lot going on, or whatever reason you did it. Thank you for giving Renee that forum. And I know Minister Sylvia had said that if I had something to say that I could, but there's no way I would have even said hello because of how important being recognized as part of the original first grandchildren of Molly and George Seabury. I felt that was very It was a milestone for our family, for my mother's children, to see Minister Sylvia recognized as part of that generation. So, Minister Sylvia, you did a great job. Minister Sheila, once again, I thank you all. I honor you. And I thank God. I thank God. I thank God for every Seabury, every Kaiser, every Brown, every Fair, every Smith. I mean, I could just go on and on. I'm so grateful to you all for how you did such an awesome job virtually. A lot of times people can do things when they're face-to-face because of the various accolades, but thank you, thank you, thank you. And I even thank Minister Margo and Elder Tony for the great, great, great coordination and everything that they did, and just seeing our youth. It wasn't one of those things that, you know, people have a mindset of a step up. I'm going to show you I can do better than you. But it wasn't that type of atmosphere. It was love. It was honor. It was appreciation. And once again, I thank you all so much, Minister Sylvia. Like I said, awesome job. Minister Sheila, I turn it over to you right now, so that you could pray for us, pray for the service, or if you have any words that you want to share, you can go ahead and do that as well. But I'll give you a little heads up. Today I'm going to be talking about I honor you too much to hurt you. Minister Sheila, go ahead.
I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle Elect, for that introduction, for the words, and for that love. But I want to thank Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, because I know she can put a nail in it. She can tell you about it. She can tell you exactly the way it was. And I asked her to do it because to my illness, but I still thank to God I'm here. So much I have forgotten. It's not forgotten to be forgotten. It's just my illness. I'm slowly, in past years, is remembering. But I thank God for bringing me through that surgery that I had, that they said I would not be and would not have anything. But yet, I do remember the love and the devotion and the caring that our family have in all these years, but yet still some of the things that we talk about, I have to puzzle my mind to try to remember, but when I do, I say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. But yet, the doctor said one thing, but you showed him another. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank Minister Sylvia by the right, because I know everything that needed to be said and more, she would have it, and when I might not. But I thank you, and I thank you for everything that was said and did yesterday, because I want to bless God, have blessed this very family through all our generations, no matter what it was. He has brought us through it. God, I give honor to you. I give honor to you that is ahead of my life, to our life that have brought us through all trials and tribulations, and have shown us no matter what we go through, that you have a way, have made a way, and will always be a way to put and to bring all together with love, dedication, devotion, and inspiration. But God, I thank you. I thank you for Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Marco McCoy, Evangelist Tony Montgomery, missionary, Linda Handy. And Lord, I thank you for all that you have blessed us through, Minister Lawrence Seabury, and for all the errors and the mistakes that I've made that you have blessed me to have, the correction of the love of the people to put me into where my memory might be missing. But yet, God, you made it so where I'm here. When they said, no, I wouldn't. But you bless me, and I thank you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I'm going to thank you and thank you, because I knew when it came up, you can tell things that I might not know. But you know how to talk. And yet I'm the one that don't really talk. But I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank the Lord for my brothers, my sisters, my sons, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandsons, nieces, nephews, cousins, my whole bloodline, and my spiritual bloodline. Lord, I thank you for blessing us into a family of love and knowing and blessing and knowing that you are the way of life and the only way of the life that will lead us the right way and bring us through whatever illness, sickness, finance, family, job, or whatever. All we need to do is put it in your hands. You can bless us and show us the way without leading and following the devil that is trying to take us from you, that we know without you we would not be. And tell the devil to go sit down and leave us alone, because we know God is real. You are fake. You are conniving. We cannot trust you. You lead us to what you say is the light, but it will always be darkness. Thank you for blessing us and making us to understand that through our life, no matter what, we can bless you. And bless this government and this law enforcement, and let them know we are all one people. We are all sons and daughters under God, and we will be blessed as long as we realize, no matter what, put it in God's hands, pray and praise it up to him, and he will lead the way. Now I say thank you, and thank you. And everybody have a blessed day, and know God is the Father and the true Father forever and ever. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Elect.
Amen, amen. Thank you once again, Minister Sheila. Before we start, I just want to give everybody an opportunity to say something before I get into many of the things that I'm going to discuss. So is there anyone that would like to say anything or request prayer or just anything? I want to open up the lines first.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Minister Sylvia Kaiser, better known as Renee to my family. I thank God for our family reunion yesterday. I got a chance to see people I hadn't saw in years, like Rosemary, Jerry, and just Boobop's daughter, and oh my God, just things, and Diane, and people I grew up loving and seeing a lot every year, but I didn't understand that as we got older, the ways of life, my mom used to always say the ways of life would take over. And when I brought it to Minister Sheila and was telling her about the family reunion request for us to take a time out and tell how we related and who our mom was, I got with Apostle Elect to see how we're going to go about it. And she said, well, first of all, we need to talk to Sheila, as her being our elder sister. We need to talk to her. And when she told me, Renee, you do it, I can't. And I was like, yeah, you can do it. She's like, no, I can't. I thought about what Moses told God, why he couldn't go to Pharaoh, and God told Moses to allow his brother Aaron. So when she told me to do that, I said, God, have you appointed me to be Aaron in my family? And I'm just so honored to be a part of the family of Seabury, because for those of you all that's listening, we were taught that we didn't come from children of slaves. Our grandfather, Papa, as we called them, was a store owner, and our grandmama, she was a midwife. So we were taught to be business owners. We were taught to educate ourselves as well as be educated. So I just want to say to my family, I thank you all for keeping our legacy alive. I thank you all for keeping the lineage going. When I look at the next generation that the family legacy is being handed over to, God has blessed this family. God has blessed this family. God has blessed this family beyond our imaginations, because a lot of times we think blessings, when he opened the window, is financial. But longevity is what God has given this family with the bloodline of the Seabury, Sinclair, and Brown. I thank God for my legacy. That's all I got to say right now, but I'll be back later to give comments after the service. Thank you. Again, my name is Minister Sylvia Kaiser, the Seabury Bloodline.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sylvia. Thank you, Minister Sheila. Is there anyone else?
I just like to say good morning. Thanks God. This is Minister Margot McCoy, and I just wanted to say I thank God for allowing me to witness the 60th annual STEM reunion for our family, and to know that we have had this as a tradition for that many years. People are amazed that our family has been coming together for that long. And one of the things that stood out in my mind as I looked at putting together a summary of how this got started was the true underlying principle that our grandmother wanted for us, which was to know God, to be saved, to have a life that we lived in Christ. That was the purpose, and that in itself is phenomenal. To think about how important that is, and that this is what our family reunion is centered on and based around. So I just thank God for that, and I thank God for this ministry and for being part of it. Continue to pray for me as I pray for our ministry and for our family. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Minister Margot, and Minister Sylvia, and Minister Sheila.
Well, I'm going to start off with saying there's a saying that says we have to put on our thick skin, and we have to understand who and whose we are. And when we understand whose we are, who we belong to, not just the Seabury, which is a great honor, not just the Kaisers, which is a great honor, not just the Smiths, is a great honor, but we belong to God. He created us the fellowship with him. When we understand that, it causes us to know. I'm going to get into a few definitions and things of that sort, but when we say we love someone, that's about a feeling, and we're going to get into the definition of that. But when we say we honor someone, it's more than a feeling. Because many people think because they open a door for you, that they verbally acknowledge you, that they brag or boast on you, that they are honoring you. But the key to true honor is that it's from the heart. And only God knows our heart. And a quick background of where this part of this is coming from. I worked with someone that out of their mouth and their actions, they would always give accolades to our leader. And yet, when they were behind closed doors, they would talk about they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Their heart would come out with they thought they could trust you with how they really felt. So many people thought that they honored this leader, but I knew that they were honoring them with their lips, but their heart was far from them. And it reminded me of how we tell God we love you, we love you, we love you, but we love him when we need something or want something. And so on today, my prayer is that God will expose and decode every falsehood of honor, so that we could really learn how to honor one another. I'm going to get into some of the things that will expose if you truly honor a person. They have this thing called microaggression. It's a thing where every day people verbally or non-verbally, they'll do little snobs or insults. Sometimes they're intentional. And sometimes they're unintentional because the person is trying to hide their heart from you. They communicate hostile, derogatory, and even negative messages towards certain people to marginalize them, whether it's because of their race, their sex, sexual origin, gender, or because of a disability, or their weight, or their age, and things of that sort. So microaggressions are things that are actually used to harm people. They're hurtful. They're things that people experience not knowing. I'll give you an example of a verbal one. Cute and have some pretty green eyes for a black person. Your hair looks different. Can I touch it? Wow, you're smart for a woman and a minority. Or there could be something behavioral that they'll do towards you where a person enters a particular restaurant and everybody's getting served but them. They've been there the longest, but they keep getting ignored. I'm going to share something that used to hurt me, but most people didn't know. Sister Sylvia used to always say, I'm in the same generation as so-and-so, so-and-so, but you all keep treating me like I'm in the other generation. And so she was voicing her opinion, and I would be in the background, and I would be quiet, but just as much as it was hurting her, it was hurting me. I would get angry, and although I appeared to be shy, because I was, I felt like what she was saying was not being heard. And so it was a behavioral thing, and it wasn't intentional, but it was being done. Something in the environment that's a type of microaggression. We would be sometimes at a college or a university somewhere, and people of one color was placed on one end, and people of another color was placed on another end. Some people could get into some sororities or fraternities, and some, they really, although they didn't tell them, they were discriminated against so that they couldn't join that particular fraternity or sorority. I'm just talking about things that happened to Cecilia. See, no one should get upset about me talking about things that happened to me. And if they do, okay, that's something we can talk about because everyone's allowed to have their feelings. And I will not do that type of micro invalidation. So another micro assault could be when someone's talking to someone, they say something and they go, oh, I was just joking about it. They could say something about a race or, wow, so-and-so, that basketball player makes a lot of money, and they're not even black. Oh, I was just joking. Someone could say, you people must be so proud of them being a doctor, because you know they are an Indian, you know. That's a micro insult. Although it might be unintentional to be discriminatory, it is. Or a micro invalidation where someone says to a black person, racism does not exist in today's society, to a woman or a male. Sexism doesn't exist in today's society, so why do you keep talking about it? They're giving you a micro invalidation that's saying that what you're saying is not important. But that's a microaggression in itself, because no one knows what you're experiencing. My family knows because I've talked to them about it before. I worked with 10 men of a certain race, and they would practice microaggressions and microequalities against me so much until I would be in tears, not in front of them, because in front of them I had on my poker face. I had on my I'm more than a conqueror face, but my heart was hurting because I had to do stuff not 100% better than them, but 200% better than them. And when I didn't, they could find that I that didn't have the dot on it or that T that wasn't crossed properly. But I could look at things that they had done as well, and I may correct them in private, so that it wouldn't be a big thing. But see, when it was time for my correction, it was done publicly. And I would just ask God, God, why can't I do that? Why won't you allow me to do to them what they do to me? And God would always say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I would say, oh, my goodness, Lord, you know, I'm going to do exactly what you said. Because, see, behaving with these type of biases, manners, is a type of messaging that says, although my bias may not be it may not be intentional, it may be unintentional, it is still something that will lead to a type of discriminatory behavior, negative or positive. So although it may be people of the same color could be saying stuff like, she thinks she's white. I heard that all while I grew up. She thinks she's white. I don't know how they came up with that, because I definitely did not think I was white. Oh, that's because she's light-skinned. Oh, that's because she's red-boned. But then I also heard them saying to others that were in my family, oh, that's because she's dark-skinned. Or, oh, yeah, she's this, or her hair is that. Or, you know, she doesn't have the good hair. What's good hair? Any hair is good hair, whether it's what you grew on your head or what you bought or what you had installed. If you paid for it, it's good, and you get to wear it, so it's good. So I don't even get into that. It's good hair. Minister Sylvia will tell you, I taught her son and my son because it used to just bother me when they would say, I'm sorry. I was like, what does sorry mean? Don't say you're sorry. Say you apologize. Do not allow people to take something that simple and now twist. And it was only because at a young age, although I didn't know what it was, I knew microaggressions when I heard them. I knew when I heard something that they might not call you racist, or they might not call you sexist, they might not call you prejudiced, but you got some issues. And I knew when I heard someone tell my mother, your daughters were doing this and your daughters were doing that. If they were, and they would tell her, because, you know, I'm just telling you because I love you and I honor you and I don't want your daughters to do this or that. How can you try to pit our mother against her very daughters? But you said you were doing it because you honored my mother. You said you were doing it because you loved my mother. But in actuality, you were actually trying to sow discord. My mother had so much wisdom until it didn't work. I remember hearing and seeing them do it with my sisters. And sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't. But no matter what they did or said, I would never turn towards one of my sisters, even if it had happened to me. So if you really say you honor someone, according to the dictionary, it's a keen sense of right or wrong. So if you have a keen sense of what's right and wrong, and you're operating in integrity and respect and accepting of what someone is doing or saying, then your honor is from the heart. It's not just from what you're saying. If I honor you, I will do things that will be helpful to you, not hurtful to you. I was watching a series called Manifest, and it seems like something that was so innocent, but I thought of something that I had discussed before with my siblings. A girlfriend of this young lady and married her fiancé. Now, right up front, that sounds like it was something bad, but let's get to the background of it. The girlfriend of this girl thought that the girl died in a plane crash. And when she thought that the girl died in a plane crash, her and the fiancé were close as well. And so after 5.5 years of them thinking that the girl was dead, they married each other. Well, I thought about that. The girl came back. She lied to her friend, her girlfriend, and told her she was going to break up with him anyway. But she wasn't. She really was going to tell him yes. But because of in this particular movie, she was missing for 5.5 years. That's not really what happened. She just didn't want her to feel bad. But she was really hurt. She was really angry. But they said they honored her memory. And then they had a daughter who was inviting the mom's ex-boyfriend over when the dad had came back. And I thought to myself, how is this connected to honor? And I said, because if that had have been me, I believe I would have thought, if so-and-so was here today, would it be okay with her if I buried her fiance? Would she be hurt? Would she consider that as a part of the honor? That's a whole nother message. You all can just see law on that for a moment. Because, see, if I say I loved her, it's a type of affection. It's type of a personal tie or a feeling that I have for someone. Some people confuse love with lust. Well, if I truly love you, would I do something to hurt you? If I truly love you, would I do something that would cause your memory or your very existence to be tainted? If I really honor you and love you, and I did something and you found out about it, would I be okay with it or would I not? Was it really something rooted in strife and discord? Would I be able to forgive you? Would you be able to forgive me? Because, see, psychology says that forgiveness is a deliberate decision to release your feelings of resentment or vengeance. How many of you know that if you harm someone, whether it's verbally or physically, that it's natural for them to not excuse the offense, not to condone the offense, and not even to forget the offense? But how many of you know with God, he not only excuses the offense through the blood of Jesus, he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. How many of you know that according to Mark 11:25, the word says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, and that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Ephesians 4:32 says, and if ye be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, I was talking to a friend, and this may sound like nothing to you, but it was a big deal to me. She said, you know, so-and-so, someone that I once dated, and her and I were really, really good friends. She said, he was trying to talk to me. What do you think of that? I said, what do you want me to think of that? And she said, well, I just wanted to know if it would bother you if I dated him. You know, you've been gone a long time, and you all are, you know, you're over it and stuff, so would it bother you? And I said to her, I said, would you date him if I was there? And she said, huh? I said, would you date him if I was there? And she said, no. I said, then that's your answer. If you can date him because I'm so many miles away, but you can't date him if I'm right there, then you answer your own question. And she thought about it, and she called me back. And she said, I thank you. And I didn't understand why she wanted to thank me. And it was because she didn't realize, excuse me, that it didn't make a difference. Because if she was my so-called friend, it shouldn't matter whether I was there where she would feel guilty every time I saw them together, or if I was far away where I would never see them again. See, the enemy of our soul wants to fool us. He wants us to get into that mode where that person that hurt you or betrayed you or broke your trust, now you can't forgive them because you've made a deliberate decision, remember? That's an error in their weakness. You've made a decision that I will not forgive you. So it wasn't that I wasn't going to forgive her, but it was that she wasn't going to forgive herself every time she saw me and they were together. So it wasn't about just me. It was about her.
if you're going to do something that's going to hurt someone, know that the enemy of our soul wants to kill, steal, and destroy friendships, honor, love, and everything that God has created us to do. Did you know that they have said, specialists, that 61% of all cancer patients have forgiveness issues? Did you know that the specialists are saying that many people that are dealing with suppressed anger and forgiveness issues, did you know that specialists are saying that not forgiving yourself can cause you to have low self-esteem? Did you know that people have been diagnosed with depression that was based off of bitterness that was connected to the unforgiveness? Did you know that many of us have increased sleep deprivation and anxiety because of the worries that we may have that's connected to the unforgiveness? Did you know that many of us have blood pressure and heart disease issues because of unforgiveness? Did you know that when you decrease the unforgiveness in your life, that you're lowering the risk of possible heart attack? Did you know that it'll even increase and improve your sleeping, your cholesterol levels, reduce your pain, your blood pressure, your anxiety, your depression, your stress? Did you know that walking in forgiveness is like walking through the stages of death? Because, see, we forget that unforgiveness is a death walk, like it or not. Because if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. Because if you don't forgive, you're going to now be in eternity with the unforgiver, unforgiveness, and that's the devil. See, when you go through that stage of grief that's dealing with shock and denial, that's you feeling numb about the intensity of the situation. See, you're numb to the fact that you don't forgive them. And then when you move to that next stage of pain and guilt and becoming angry, now you're angry. You're angry at that person or you're angry at yourself. You can't see them. They can't see you. If they do see you, you don't know what to say, how to engage with them anymore because you know that you did something wrong. Okay, now think about that. Now, okay, now I'm angry with them or I'm angry with myself, but now I'm going to start bargaining now. See, if she would have did this or she could have did that or I could have, you start walking in the sugar, the could have, the would have statements. But it's all because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, as we said, it leads you to depression, but then you move from reflections to loneliness. You start to isolate yourself. You start to ignore the person now because you don't forgive them. You haven't forgiven them yet. They haven't forgiven you yet. It's like you're trying to hold someone in the prison that you're the only person in them. You're all by yourself, or they're all by themselves. But then, but then we allow Jesus into the picture. Then we allow God's ministering angels into the picture. Then we say, God, I repent for all that I've done wrong. I forgive that person. God, I forgive myself. I'm no longer disappointed in myself, God, for I know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you'll deliver us out of them all. God, I know that if I need to forgive, I need to first begin with myself. I need to know that I cannot forgive that person because I haven't forgiven myself. You may say, what do you mean I haven't forgiven myself? If you haven't learned to accept the fact that you have to move on, you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you have to let that depression go. You have to allow God to strengthen you and to motivate you and to awaken you. If you don't know, you have to allow God to be the potter because you're the clay and that he's going to reconstruct you and he's going to work you
through the whole thing, and that he's going to teach you how to let it go, let the cares and the fears and the regrets go, let the lack of functionality go. He's going to teach you how to be inspired, how to be determined, how to be refreshed, and how to be revived all again, how to remind you that you're more than a conqueror. Why? Because you realize that I may have done wrong, but now I'm getting up. I realize I was telling you that I honor you and I love you with my lips, but my heart was far from you. Father God, the truth is I'm learning how to honor and respect you, God. And as you teach me how to honor and respect you, I'm learning how to honor and respect others. Why? Because I'm more than a conqueror. My response to God is aligned with the scriptures that says, what then? Shall we say in response to these things, if God be for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all of us? What about if Jesus had been mad because he was given up? My. Well, I am so glad that's not the case. It says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen and whom God has justified? Yes, we've done wrong, but we've gotten back up. Yes, we've had wrong done to us, but we've gotten back up and we've allowed that person to know that no trouble, no hardship, no persecution, no famine, no nakedness, no sword, nothing they could say or do would ever cause us to want them to die. Not physically, not emotionally, not mentally, nowhere, no way. We have to realize that when we accept that we have done wrong and when we can accept that others have done wrong to us, we accept the fact that we know we've done wrong to God. And because we honor God and because God honors us, we know that God will not allow us to be an apart of anything that's too hard for us to bear. Why? Because we're more than conquerors. I thought about Pastor Sharon's testimony when she was talking about how she had missed God when he told her to retire in January, and she said, nope, I'm going to retire in December. She went through this and that, and she was talking about her sufferings, but once she repented, my God, once she repented, God is blessing her. I thought about how many people would say things to my mom about her children. And I thought about how people would try to sow discord between me and my sisters. And I thought about how people on my job would do the same thing. And I thought about how my so-called friends would try to date someone that I had dated or their ex would try to date me. I was just thinking about all of those things. I thought about how many times people have practiced microaggressions and micro iniquities against me and against people that I loved. And I realized they have done worse to Jesus. And yet, when he died on the cross, it was for each and every one of us. And he did it because he honored his Father, my God. He honored his Father enough to take on the cross for each and every one of us. Saints, I've been asking God, God, teach me how to honor not only you, God, but my sisters, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, my friends, even the so-called friends, my leaders, my colleagues, teach me how to honor them based off of what you are saying I need to do, God. Not because of what they're doing, not because of what they're saying. I have a mentor who's a doctor, and the people that she worked with problem with calling her doctor. They have a problem with honoring her because she's an educated black woman. And I did not understand
when she said to me, Cecilia, when you're a doctor and you've gone through the things that you've gone through to get that degree, if people can't honor you for the struggle that you went through as a black woman to get that, that in itself is a microaggression. And I'm saying that because many of us, we're saying that we honor one another, but it's lip service. Many of us are saying we honor one another, but we need to have a heart transplant and surgery. I thought about when, oh my God, oh, I thank you for Apostle Sandra Thomas. I thought about when she sat me at the front of the church and she made the people come by and hug me until she said they would let go of whatever they had against me. And I think spiritually right now, we need to look around our families. We need to look around our homes, the people that we associate with, and see if we need to sit them in a chair in the spirit realm until we can honor them for real, not with our mouth only, not with our actions only, but with our heart. Let's honor God, not just when we want something. Let's honor God every moment of our life. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the glory. And he deserves all the worship. I'm not saying that we need to worship or adore one another the way we adore God. But can you honor that person that doesn't have a degree? Can you honor that person that doesn't have this or that money? Do you always have to one-up somebody? Or are you doing it because of love? Well, I'm asking God to teach me how to live a life that says, I honor you too much to hurt you. That's all I have, Minister Sheila. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the words of encouragement, the teaching, and the knowledge, and the blessings that you have put into our minds and our hearts today. I just want to say that lines are open. If anyone has any testimonies, words of encouragement, or just something on their heart, the time is now.
Well, praise God. This is Minister Margo McCoy. I just want to say I thank Apostle Cecilia for her words today. There's so much that she gave us, and some of the things that stood out to me is when she talked about forgiving ourselves. And the other thing was unforgiveness causes disease. And when you think about those things that we hide deep within ourselves, within our hearts, can cause us disease and also, more importantly, cause us a disconnect with our Father, with our Father and Lord. So thank you for those words, and thank you for helping us to understand. You said walking in unforgiveness is a death sentence. Wow. We need to be about honoring God, not just our words and our deeds, but in our hearts. Thank you, Apostle. God bless you.
Thank you for the words of encouragement. Anyone else?
Thank you, Apostle, for those words that you spoke over us as in a way of setting us free, asking God to teach us how to honor at the same time asking God to put us in a position to let people know the place that we need to be honored in. I thank God for the chance of a lifetime to sit and hear and get it so in our hearts that we have to understand it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your age, because even in the Word of God, He said that the children will prophesy. In other words, God was saying, I took it that He was saying to me, just because a child speaks doesn't mean that they're speaking as a child. God will use anything or anybody to send correction. And when someone calls and asks you, how do you feel about something, I believe in my heart they already know how you feel. They're just looking for an excuse to justify why they did not give you. They was not trying to give you the honor that you deserve, but God put them in a position where they have to obey Him, and they are called, or they'll come to you, excuse me, get clarification to know that there's no reason or excuse for you to dishonor someone. I thank you for teaching us, as Minister Margo says, so many nuggets you have given to us of how to honor instead of dishonoring people, because when you walk in honesty, presenting God. Thank you for that on today. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for your words and encouragement, Minister Margo McCoy, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. Is there anyone else? All right, I want to give honor to God for blessing us for another day. I just want to say, God, I thank you. I want to thank you for every minute of second of life that you have given us so we can thank you and praise your name. I just want to ask if you can tune in each and every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's talk with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And on Monday nights, which is Iron Sharpened Iron with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I believe our foundational scripture person that's going to be teaching us and showing us the way, a man of many magnificent words of encouragement, is Pastor Troy Thomas, which is a magnificent man of God with words and to help us to all understand. And on, which is on Blog Talk, and Facebook. And on Friday night, which is Let's Talk at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I believe this Friday is Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Prophet Antoine Thomas, they do share and speak and teach us magnificent lessons. And if I am incorrect, I will stand to be corrected, and which is on Blog Talk and also Facebook. And I just want to say thank you and excuse me for stumbling, because I'm at work trying to do something and trying to stay into the program. But I thank the Lord for blessing me to be able to participate, if not in the fully, but yet some parts of the service, because the demon devil is trying to interrupt our lives, no matter what it is, when it comes to the Father and to the Son. And if there is no corrections, I appreciate you listening to us and thank God for blessing us, and to remember our foundation of scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Is there anything else that wants to be said or must be said, Apostle? Elect, Minister Margot, Minister Sylvia, could you say it now before we end the program? Okay, well, I appreciate all the love, the understanding, and the word that we were blessed with in the teaching, and to let us know. How can you ask God to forgive you when you cannot forgive yourself and forgive others? We are not all perfect. We only have a perfect Father, but yet we need to learn and to understand to get the tall and total blessings that we are all asking for must be right within his words, within our lives. I just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. Until tomorrow night, let's say have a blessed time, be safe, and thank God for each and every second he blessed you with, because we are here because the Father says so. Amen and amen. Have a blessed morning. Thank you.